Welcome to License to Talk Insurance, a podcast for independent insurance agents. Hello, my name is Kelsey Ramsey. I'm the Director of Digital Strategy at Chicagoland SIA, and I'm one of your hosts for this podcast.
Hello, I'm Amanda Yanis, the Director of Marketing at Chicagoland SIA, and one of your other hosts.
Today, Amanda and I are going to be discussing the different data sources that your agency can be using in order to make informed marketing decisions. So I've had a good amount of members come to me asking how they can use the information that Google Analytics, LinkedIn, Facebook, your CRM, Google Search Console, etc., and all of these platforms, and essentially what the outputs can do for their agencies. So Amanda and I really just wanted to take a deep dive into the data and analytics realm specifically for marketing. When we're thinking about these different analytics tools, specifically Google Analytics, they're really useful to make informed marketing decisions, specifically what days of the week you should be posting, what days of the week you should be sending out your emails for email marketing, what days that you could be posting blogs or any type of content on your social channels, etc. So Amanda, when it comes to, I guess we should start with email marketing and CRMs, and then we can kind of dive into Facebook and LinkedIn and then also Google. So when we're thinking about the CRM and email marketing, how do you look at it from the Conklin perspective when you're going into the data?
Well, one of the things you obviously want to look at is when people are opening your email and how much time they're spending looking at it. So your CRM should be able to tell you your open rate, when it was opened, and sort of how long people spent looking at it. So did they skim it? Did they read it? It should be able to give you some of that basic information. And then with that, you sort of need to form a hypothesis. And this is going to sound a lot like when you were in elementary school and you're doing your science fair project. You have an idea, and then you do some testing. You decide if your idea was correct or if it was wrong, and then you sort of have to adjust. So marketing is that process. So you might have the idea that people open emails on Tuesdays at 7 a.m. So what you would do is you would segment your email that you're going to send out into maybe three groups. And you'd send it to the group on Tuesday at 7 a.m. And you'd send it to another group maybe Thursday at 7 a.m. And then maybe you'd send it Wednesday at 9 a.m. And you'd sort of see when, like, which segment opened your email more often. So that would be a good way of testing that. And then you sort of refine it from there. So if you're seeing that people aren't opening it at 7 a.m. on Tuesdays nor 7 a.m. on Thursdays, but you're not really getting that great of an open rate on Wednesdays, but it's better than those, you might say, okay, well, is it because it's Wednesday or is it because it's 9 a.m.? And then you'd sort of make a new test. Okay, I'm going to send it Wednesday at 9 a.m., Wednesday at 7 a.m., and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and sort of see, again, when is the email being opened? How long are they looking at it? Things of that nature. So it's sort of this using the data to form a hypothesis and then creating tests to see if it's right.
I think a lot of, especially independent insurance agents that have, you know, a few employees or even just the one principal, get caught up because maybe their email marketing strategy hasn't worked for them in the past. And this is a really good opportunity to go in and say, okay, this might not have worked, but it could have just been the day of the week. It could have been the content that I was sending out. It could have been a number of different factors.
So it could have been your subject line.
Exactly. There are so many different components, especially when it comes to email marketing, that could make an email successful or unsuccessful. I really urge our members to just not give up and to keep testing out these different theories. Maybe it was the day of the week. Maybe it could have been your content or your subject line, things of that nature that didn't really catch the attention of either your prospects or your clients. So not only should you be testing out the days of the week, but your subject line is another huge one that you can definitely test out. And we did our, one of our last episodes was about ChatGPT, and that's a great opportunity to work on your subject lines by using ChatGPT.
I do want to chime in with something that I have found fairly universal, is that if it's not something that is urgent, Monday mornings are a terrible time to get people to take action on an email, because they've got all the emails that came in over the weekend, maybe even late on Friday emails, and they're focusing on getting through that massive load. And if your email is sort of just like, hey, I thought you'd find this information useful, they're going to be like, I don't have time for this right now, and then they're going to forget about it. So Monday mornings tend not to be great. Friday afternoons also tend not to be great, again, because people are trying to get all this work done before they go off for their weekend. And then obviously that can depend on the industry, and you know, if it's personal lines or commercial lines and things of that nature. But typically Monday mornings and Friday afternoons are just a no-go for emails.
Amanda, you brought up a really good point, and something I wanted to mention is that depending on who your audience is will change how they read their emails. If you're more personal lines focused and you are sending out an email marketing campaign to your clients that are in that personal lines bucket, they might be checking those emails on Monday evenings or Thursday evening, Saturday morning, Saturday evening. So it might look a little bit different compared to a commercial lines prospect who could be sitting in front of their inbox Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So that's also a really good opportunity to segment out these different customers using your CRM. If you have not done already, please, please do that. And testing out what days of the week for these different clients works for them, depending on what bucket they fall into. And so that's a great opportunity to be looking at open rates and all of this data that your CRM can provide to you to really dive in to come up with this marketing strategy for email marketing. Now that we've talked about email marketing, I think it's important to talk a little bit more about Google Analytics and Google Search Console, because I think that's going to be some really important those pieces are going to have some really important information, specifically when it comes to your website and also your Google search results. And most members should have Google Analytics already added to their website as long as they're using a website vendor. If you're not sure, please reach out to your website vendor, reach out to me, we can double check for you. But if you don't have Google Analytics or Google Search Console, please, please get them. They're wonderful free tools that you can use for your website to make sure that you are receiving the data that we're about to discuss. But when it comes to Google Analytics, your website vendor should be sending you at least quarterly updates that talk about, you know, your site visits, your different site sessions, demographic information, who's visiting your website, where are they from, etc. They can also talk about if you have specific actions on your website, like a call now button or a submit button on a form fill, those are trackable via Google Analytics as well, so that you can create some more informed decisions as to how people are using your website. So when we're thinking about Google Analytics, this is more, again, directionally focused so that you can make these informed decisions in your marketing. So if you're realizing that, okay, there's more sessions that are happening on Thursday afternoons than any other day of the week when you're looking over the last 90 days of data, 30 days of data, etc. That's a great opportunity for you to say, okay, if people are really looking at my website on Thursdays, why don't we start posting our blogs on Thursday afternoons to give people more fresh content that they can be looking at? Also, what pages are they specifically looking at on Thursday afternoons? Google Analytics can tell you that as well, kind of what their page path is. Are they landing on your homepage and then going to your page? So that specifically talks about contractors. Are they landing and then going to your contact us page and learning more, or your about us page to learn more about you? If you're noticing that there is an increase in traffic, I mean traffic meaning site visitors, people coming to your website, on into specific pages on certain days of the week. So like I said, contractors on Thursday afternoons. That is also a wonderful opportunity to then go in and to post contractor specific information across your social media channels, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But that's a good opportunity to really use that information to then work with your marketing plan. And Amanda, I know you're very frequent on Google Search Console. So how do you recommend that members can use Google Search Console to make more informed marketing decisions?
Google Search Console is great for identifying keywords that are bringing people to your site. So you'll see when you go on there that it'll show you search terms that people use to find you. And what's neat about this is that can sort of tell you, is your strategy working? So one, if no one's coming to your site, obviously you need to do something about that. Two, are they coming to your site for a market you're not really that interested in? So if you're getting a lot of, I don't know, let's say restaurants, like people are searching restaurant insurance and you're coming up, kudos to you. But if you're not interested in writing restaurant insurance, that's not really that helpful for your strategy. So you can sort of see if you need to write more, like if you really want to focus on contractor insurance, key phrases that are bringing people in that take them to contractors insurance. If you start seeing those phrases coming up in your Google Search Console, then you know that your strategy is working. If you're not seeing them, that usually means that you need to create more content focused around those keywords, which often means blogging. The other thing is with Google Analytics, you can do A/B testing. So you can post the same content, but done differently. So I want to stress that you don't want to post two pages that are identical. You need to make them different or you're going to be penalized, but you can change the verbiage. You can change the call to actions. You can change the layout of the page, and then you can see which page is getting more hits. And from those hits, which pages are seeing the most conversions. So that's a form fill or a call to action or anything that they're doing on the site. The other thing that I look at is what sites are people going to and then leaving without doing what I want them to do. So usually I want them to come to our site and I want them to fill out a form. So if I notice that a lot of people are coming into a page and then leaving without filling out that form, something is wrong. Something's going wrong on that page where they're not completing the action I want them to do. And then you need to sort of figure out why. And that, again, involves creating a hypothesis, testing it, reviewing those results, making another hypothesis, and sort of just refining it until the page is doing what you want it to do.
That's a really good point, Amanda. Bounce rate is huge. So what Amanda was just discussing on Google Analytics is called bounce rate. And essentially, that means wherever that individual came from. So if they saw something on Facebook, they found you on Google, Google Analytics should be able to share that information with you in terms of page where that individual came from. And with that, you can determine, okay, where is the source of these bounce rate, of the high bounce rate, where is that coming from? So if someone is on their mobile device and they accidentally click on one of your posts that links to your website and it brings them into a new tab, redirects them to your website, and they click out immediately, that's going to be a bounce. We also call that big finger syndrome or accidental finger syndrome, etc. We aren't going to want you posting a lot on those platforms where you're going to have a higher bounce rate. We'd rather you post on platforms where individuals are going to your website and staying. So typically we see that happening on Google. Google does not have a very high bounce rate because individuals are typically looking for your services. However, some folks have really good, they have really low bounce rates on Facebook, but that this is again a really good opportunity for you to be going in and doing this A/B testing, maybe posting the same link across multiple different platforms, seeing where individuals are actually paying more attention to your website, doing these A/B tests, et cetera. So with all of that being said, Google, again, is a great opportunity. It's free. And it's a great opportunity for you to take a look at your overall big picture marketing plan to determine where you should be spending your time, because you're an independent agency owner or you're a producer, whatever your role is, it is typically not 100% marketing related. Marketing is going to help you with your sales. And so it is obviously a very big, important part of your business, but you might not have the most time to contribute to this. So use these tools to help do the heavy lifting so that you understand where you should be focusing your limited time and energy. Next up, we're going to discuss a little bit about social media channels. I will preface this by saying that typically these numbers are elevated, so they should only be used directionally. But on your business profiles for both LinkedIn and Facebook, they will offer you analytics that, again, are completely free and included with your business account. And again, they're very broad, they're very generic, but it talks about, you know, your content analytics. So how many people have viewed your post, the location of where your post was viewed. So if you're obviously in the Chicagoland area, you're hoping that individuals are looking at your content in the Chicagoland area. If you're seeing it happen outside of that, we might want to take a look at your profile, just make sure that all of the right pieces are in place, or you might just have followers that aren't located in Chicago, which again, a good opportunity for you to revamp some of your strategy to gain more followers in your area, because more followers hopefully will mean more sales and more clients, more prospects. The other piece of this that you can look at are the page views. So you're looking at content views, which are the posts that you've already pushed out, and where those posts are landing on the social platform. You can also take a look at your page views and your followers to determine, again, location, more demographic information. So depending on what platform you're using, that might look a little bit different. For example, LinkedIn is more business oriented, so you're going to be seeing more drop downs instead of like household income, things like that. It's going to be more so job title, industry, etc. Facebook is probably going to have more personal lines related information, just because it's more of a social platform as opposed to a professional social platform. So those are good places to take a look and see what days of the week people are visiting your page, the amount of impressions. So if you're doing an A/B test between, let's say you're running a campaign targeting contractors and you're going to be posting different articles throughout the week, you can take a look and see which articles received more likes, more impressions, etc., and determine, okay, was this day of the week, was this content? And so you can A/B test that way.
One thing that I like to do is at the end of the month, I look back on the previous month and I see which posts I did were my top performing posts. So most clicks, most views, whatever it is that I'm looking for. And I schedule those to happen again to see, was it the timing of them? Was it the content? And then I sort of see, okay, now I've posted it for, you know, twice. Is it continuing to perform high? Or was it sort of like a one-off that it was more just the people that saw it, they're done with it? If it's hitting more people, just to sort of keep those high-performing posts, keep them coming and learn what people are doing with them. So it's a good idea to see what your most popular posts are and do them again. Do them again at the same time. Do them again at a different time. Sort of test. You can use the exact same post. Most people won't remember exactly what your previous posts were anyway. And it's a good chance it's not going to be the same people viewing it at the exact same time. So sometimes I just take those high-performing posts and I just copy them and schedule them for another day.
That's a perfect example, Amanda. Thank you for sharing that. I think, again, these social channels are just another great opportunity for you to take some of the guesswork out of this, because marketing without this data is a little bit of guesswork. You don't really have a direction, especially if you're starting from scratch. You're a scratch agent, you're starting your business, you know, from the ground up. You don't have any idea when people are going to be looking for this content. So in the beginning, you are just throwing stuff out there and seeing if it works. But as you continue to build and to gather this data and use it. That's exactly what it's there for you to make these informed decisions.
I will share some insights that I have noticed, again, that tend to be universal, that are a good starting off point. Facebook tends to do really well after lunch. People tend to have their lunch, maybe they browse it while they're on lunch, but like the 1 o'clock crowd on Facebook tends to be, in my experience, more active. So that would be, if you're looking to do stuff on Facebook, that's a good starting point. And if it doesn't work for you, well, you'll find out pretty quick, and you can, again, form that hypothesis and try some other times. I also find that people watch videos later in the day, into the evening even. And I think that's sort of, if they're working, you know, you don't want to be caught watching videos at work, or you don't want people in your office to have to listen to you watching a video. So I do find that videos tend to be more in the later hours, especially personal videos, whereas people are more prone to watch those commercial focused emails. It's a little bit more acceptable to watch them at work. But I also do find that people tend to shy away from videos during the work hours, unless they're on lunch listening on headphones. So that's sort of a hypothesis I have. If you guys want to go start there, it's a great place to start.
It's a great place to start, Amanda. Thank you. So the last piece that I wanted to discuss was the agency management system. So Amanda, I'm going to look to you at this one, since I know that you have a little bit more experience in this than I do.
So in your agency management system, you should be easily able to segment your policyholders into ones that have certain policies and don't have certain policies. So if you have your commercial lines policies, so they have commercial property, or they have a BOP, or they have general liability, and you should be able to take that segment and then filter it to see, well, they've got these policies. Do they have maybe an EPLI policy? And looking at the ones that have their commercial property or their BOPs and don't have EPLI policies, that's a great chance for you to set up a email marketing campaign to shoot out to those clients and say, hey, I notice you don't have an EPLI policy with us. I just want to give you a little bit more information on what this policy is. We highly recommend it. You could do the same thing in personal lines. If you have people that you have their auto, but you don't have their home, you can email them and be like, hey, we have your auto policy. I just want to let you know there's some great options for homeowners, or the carrier you're with does offer some bundling. So it's something you might consider. Or, you know, if they have a renter's policy, you might be like, oh, hey, you know, let's get your auto policy. So you can use the information in your agent management system to segment your clients so that you can then cross-sell to them and increase their policy count with you.
So with all that being said, you can use each of these tools together. So that's really what Amanda was just getting at, is using your agency management system to pull this information so that you can then use it in your email marketing. And I think a lot of individuals think of all of these different digital tools as silos when they all should be working together. And that's when you're going to see the most success, especially when it comes to your marketing, is using all of these. Again, I've said this probably 100 times in this podcast, but these informed decisions that will get you one step closer to binding that next policy. I just wanted to thank you guys for listening in today. This is a newer topic that we wanted to discuss, just because there are all of these different data sources that you have access to at your fingertips, as long as you have these different online accounts. So if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to myself. Amanda is always here as a resource too. Amanda, anything else you wanted to add?
I just want to throw out a plug that you do have that Google Analytics guide for beginners that is available for download through our website, which is great for getting a handle on Google Analytics, and would be really beneficial if you don't know where to start.
Absolutely. And I'm always here as a resource. If you have Google Analytics reports that are being sent to you from your web developer and it looks like a different language, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to walk through it with you. But thank you for joining us today, and tune in next month.
Bye, everyone.